الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، so this is our continuation of our seminar in the readings of Al-Urwa Al-Wuthqa, the strongest handhold, which is a brief treatise authored by Sheikh Salih Al-Usaymi حفظه الله تعالى, in our seminar which is entitled The Path to Paradise, الطريق إلى الجنة, The Path to Paradise. And as has mentioned, this is a continuation of the previous readings that we had in our previous seminar, which consisted of five gatherings. So therefore, there are five classes that have proceeded. In those classes, we had begun the reading. In the first portion of the work, the author, he mentioned Babu Qawli Allahi Ta'ala, in the statement of Allah the Most High, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَانْفِصَامَ لَهَا. And whoever disbelieves in all of the false deities worshipped besides Allah, and he believes in Allah, then indeed he has grasped the strongest handhold that will never fail nor break. We have seen that Al-Urwa Al-Wuthqa, this is the Shahada and La Ilaha Illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the testimony of faith that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this is the foundation of the religion and the basis of faith. And that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned an authentic narration by Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, لا يدخل الجنة إلا نفس مؤمنة. And in one wording, لا يدخل الجنة إلا نفس مسلمة. That no soul went to paradise except for a believing soul. No soul went to paradise except for a Muslim soul. Meaning a soul that lived and died upon the testimony that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the messenger of Allah. And the one who lives upon this and dies upon this, then he is guaranteed paradise, either in the beginning with honor and dignity, the first and the foremost, or either after he's purified from his sins and the hellfire according to the will of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But everyone who lives and dies upon faith, he's guaranteed to enter paradise and to achieve the mercy and the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. A great indication of the value of this statement. The statement, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The great value and the weight of this statement. But if a person, he's not concerned, and he lets his whims overcome him, and he becomes preoccupied with his life, and he neglects the rights of this statement, then it may be light. Then it may be light in his right. It can be heavy, heavier than the heavens and the earth. But if a person does not show care and concern and take care of that statement and cherish his faith, then it can become tainted and it can become deficient. It can become light in the scale of a person. And if one is not careful, it can be stripped from him entirely. What he has to be left, and he will not die upon faith. And those who do not die upon faith, then they're promised and guaranteed the anger of Allah and the hellfire and agony and regret for eternity. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. Likewise, in this work, we studied the chapter Babu Fadli al-Islam. We've seen the chapter with regards to the virtues of al-Islam. What is intended is al-Islam, الَّذِي جَاءَ بِهِ النَّبِي مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالَّذِي كَانَ عَلَيْهِ أَصْحَابُهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. That the virtue of al-Islam, meaning the virtue of the Islam that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with, and the virtue that his companions were upon, the virtue of the al-Islam that his companions were upon, radiallahu anhum, at the head of them Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali and the rest of the noble companions, radiallahu anhum, not that which is ascribed falsely to al-Islam, which is not from it, from the customs and cultures that some may consider to be al-Islam today. Yet al-Islam is free from that. There's no virtue in that. Rather, the virtues in the Islam that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he was upon, and his companions, radiallahu anhum, and a number of great benefits, alhamdulillah, have proceeded with regards to this likewise. And we have studied the chapter Babu Tiba' Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the chapter with regards to following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and taking him as the role model, and believing that he is the messenger of Allah, and that he received guidance from Allah, and that he was upon light, and he was upon knowledge, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, revelation from the Lord of the worlds. And therefore, he's followed absolutely. This is from the understanding of the Shahada, anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى ما تبوء حق إلا رسول الله. That no one is followed absolutely and right in everything that they say and they do, except for the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Everyone besides him is followed according to the amount that they follow the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. We have seen that النبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم هو الميزان الأكبر. هو الميزان الأكبر. He is the great scale. سنته هي الميزان الأكبر. That his sunnah, his laws and legal ways صلى الله عليه وسلم is the greatest scale that we weigh up the people's statements and their beliefs with, and their actions and their deeds. That which is in accordance to that which is narrated authentically and come from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, then we love it and we believe in it and we strive to implement it in our life and follow it and abide by it. And we show preference to that over the ways and the customs of our forefathers or our people or anyone besides the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And we had taken the chapter likewise, بابو الاستغناء بالذي أوحي إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عما سواه. The chapter with regards to sufficing. Sufficing with that which was revealed to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم over everything else. And this was a chapter of utmost importance. And it remains today of utmost importance. Because the believers, they believe in Allah and they follow the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in general. But the true trial and test is to show preference. But the true trial and test is to show preference. To learn the guidance of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, no doubt. This is something that the believers, they're involved in. But once one learns, now he must show preference to that knowledge and application. And he must proceed based upon that knowledge in his life. And he must abide by it. And that which is lawful, he must believe that it's lawful and proceed upon that. And that which is forbidden, he must believe that it's forbidden and avoid and stay away from that. And seek forgiveness for his sins. And that which is an obligation, then he must strive to implement it and apply it properly day in and day out, every day of his life. And that which is forbidden, he must strive to avoid it and leave it, hoping for the reward of Allah and fearing the punishment of Allah, and not being caught up in the customs or the ways of the people, or following one's desires and lust, and partaking and indulging in that which is forbidden. And partaking and indulging in that which is forbidden, and transgressing the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, and not sufficing with the guidance. And not sufficing with the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, it is sufficient. And there are a number, and there are a number of benefits with regards to that as well in that chapter, alhamdulillah. And then in our final class, we have read Babu Fadli al-Ilm wa Tariqi Talabihi, the chapter with regards to the virtues of knowledge and the way to seek it. The chapter with regards to the virtues of knowledge and the ways to seek it. And bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and this seminar, which is the second seminar and our sixth gathering, we're going to continue again with this chapter. We're going to repeat it and study it once again. And for those who had studied in our previous class, then it will be a review for them, mudhakara, mudhakara wa muraja. And this is something that is beneficial and good, and from the ways that the knowledge will be confirmed, and a person, he will be able to truly benefit from it, because the knowledge, it must be reviewed, or else it will get away. And the Salaf, they used to say, تَذَكَرُوا هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فَإِنَّ مُذَكَرَتُهُ حَيَاتُهُ, that you must review these narrations, meaning you must review this knowledge. You must go over from time to time. You must go over from time to time, because in reviewing knowledge is the life of knowledge. Because in reviewing knowledge is the life of knowledge. This has been narrated from Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, and others after him as well. And others after him as well. It's been narrated from Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 124. From the greatest scholars of hadith and from the best of the tabi'in, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, afatu ilmi al-nisyanu wa tarku al-mudhakara, that the disease of knowledge, I mean that which will corrupt the knowledge and weaken it, is forgetfulness and leaving off review. And leaving off review. So the Salaf, the people of knowledge from the previous generations, they used to review the knowledge. So this is how we begin our seminar this evening. بِإِذْنِنَهِ تَعَالَى نَتَذَكَرُ هَذَا الْبَابِ بَابَ فَضْلِ الْعِلْمِ وَطَرِيقِ طَلَبِهِ. And this is because of the importance of this particular chapter and the evidences that are mentioned here and the benefits and rulings that we will discuss. بِإِذْنِنَهِ تَعَالَى, and the great need. The great need in our days for ourselves, first and foremost, as individuals, and likewise for our family and those under our care and our community, and likewise for the ummah in general, to strive with sincere faith, believing in Allah in the last day, to seek knowledge, to learn the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believing that it's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the knowledge is revelation that was revealed, and it's the path that leads to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we read again, Babu Fadli al-Ilmi wa Tariqi Talabihi, the chapter about the virtue of knowledge. The virtue of knowledge and the path to seek it. The people of knowledge, they have clarified what is intended by knowledge. Whenever the word al-Ilm is used in the text, in the Quran or in the Sunnah, in a praiseworthy manner, or on the tongues of the ulama, the people of knowledge, what is intended is al-Ilm al-Shar'i, the legislative knowledge. The legislative knowledge. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala has mentioned a number of great benefits with regards to the definition of knowledge and the clarification of true knowledge. And we take some of these lines of poetry, and he had mentioned rahimahullah, al-ilmu qala Allahu qala rasuluhu qala as-sahabatu hum ulu al-irfani, that knowledge is what Allah has said and what his messenger has said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what the sahaba have said. They are the people of sound understanding. Any of the companions, radiallahu anhum. Al-ilmu, qala Allahu, qala Rasuluhu, qala sahabatu hum ulu al-irfani. The knowledge is what Allah has mentioned in his book, subhanahu wa ta'ala, clarified in the noble Quran. And likewise, knowledge is that which has been clarified in the sunnah, in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is profound and sound knowledge. And likewise, what the companions they were upon, radiallahu anhum, this likewise is considered knowledge. Anyone who came after them, if they have knowledge related to the religion that's contrary to this knowledge, it's not considered knowledge. Whether it's considered misguidance and deviation, it's considered opinions and whims and desires that is in contradiction to that which was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala in other lines of poetry, and he says, and bil munasabah hadihi kunuz, yani kunuz, these are treasures. These are treasures. A person, he should write them down and memorize them. He should write them down and memorize them. Al-ilmu ma'rifatul huda bidaririhi. Al-ilmu ma'rifatul huda bidaririhi. Ma dhaka wa taqlilu yastawiyani. Wal-jahlu da'un qatilun wa dawa'uhu amrani fi tarkibi yattafiqani. Nasun min al-Qur'ani aw min sunnatin wa tabibu dhalika al-alimu al-rabbani. The first portion is the most important portion. This is the one that we want to memorize for sure. Al-ilmu ma'rifatul huda bidaririhi. Al-ilmu ma'rifatul huda bidaririhi. That knowledge is to know the guidance with its evidence. This is knowledge. Al-ilm, what is knowledge? If somebody said to you right now, what is knowledge? You're talking about knowledge, the chapter about the virtue of knowledge and the way to seek it. What are we speaking about? What is this? What is the discussion about? About knowledge. What is that knowledge? Al-ilmu ma'rifatul huda bidaririhi. True knowledge. Knowledge is to know the guidance that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, coupled with its evidence. Coupled with its evidence, to know the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, coupled with the evidence clarifying the affair. Al-ilmu ma'rifatul huda bidaririhi. Ma dhaka wa taqlilu yastawiyani. This and blind following is not easy. It's not equal. This and blind following is not equal. It's not equal. So there's a difference between following the guidance based upon the evidence and blind following the statements of men. So someone who comes and he mentions a ruling, something that's an obligation or something that is forbidden or something that is lawful and the likes like this, and he mentions the evidence of that from the Quran and the Sunnah, and that evidence clearly indicates the issue in discussion, then this is true knowledge. And now this person is following the guidance and he's following the knowledge and he's not blind following a man. And this clarifies for us the function of the people of knowledge. The people of knowledge, they're not evidence in themselves. We have seen this. What is knowledge? قَالَ اللَّهُ قَالَ رَسُولُهُ قَالَ الصَّحَابَةُ هُمْ أُولُو الْإِرْفَانِ. As for the ulama after them from the tabi'een, and that's back tabi'een all the way to our day, no doubt we love them. The scholars of the Sunnah, the true scholars of Islam, we love them and we take that love as deen and seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but their statements are not proof. The statements of Abu Hanifa is not a proof. And the statements of Imam al-Shafi is not a proof. The statements of Imam Malik or Imam Shafi or Imam Ahmed, the statements of the four Imams is not a proof in their statement. Rather, their statements is a guide to the proof. And they lead you to the proof to understand. So they have forbidden us themselves. If you look into their statements, you will find
from their very own statements, rahimahum Allah, from the four imams and those before them and those after them, that they forbade the people from blind following them, but rather to take from where they took from. So this is very important. Knowledge is to know the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam coupled with his evidence. And this is what we seek. We set out on a path seeking knowledge, and we want to learn the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam with his evidence and proof. So blind following is not the same. If somebody came in right now and he said that he just prayed Maghrib with us and he didn't have wudu, what should we say to him? He said, you know what, I forgot, I didn't have wudu. I just prayed with you, but I didn't have wudu. I forgot. What should I do? What do we tell him? Huh? Tell him he have to go back and make wudu and pray again. If he goes back and makes wudu and prays again, is he good? He's good. But what we had mentioned to him, what is he doing? He's blind following, because we did not mention a proof. So sometimes it may be required to blind follow. But the people of knowledge, they make the example of this, like whenever it's lawful to eat the flesh of the dead. Whenever it's lawful to eat the flesh of the dead animal, the animal that died and was not slaughtered, this meat is unlawful. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةِ. This is very clear. But in certain circumstances, in dire necessity, whenever a person, he is afraid for his life, and he has nothing to eat except for the flesh of the dead animal, it's lawful for him. We understand the circumstance. So the people of knowledge, barakallahu fikum, they mentioned similar like this, that is allowed to blind follow, but only in times of need. So a person, he will not want to find himself in that situation. Only in times of extreme ignorance, or whenever a person, he is not clear, does not know the ruling himself. So blind following is blameworthy in general. But it could be an obligation for certain people in certain circumstances. Even a great scholar may have to blind follow in certain times and issues that are difficult, and he has no evidence or proof with regards to, or he has not reached that level of knowledge yet. But the point is that it's not the same. If we told the person now that it's narrated by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبَرُ صَلَاةَ أَحَدِكُمْ إِذَا أَحْدَثَ حَتَّى يَتَوَضَّعَ. That indeed Allah, he does not accept the prayer of one of you if he loses his wudu until he makes wudu. So you have to go make wudu. Now he goes back and he makes wudu. What is he doing now? Is he blind following now? Or is he following the evidence? Or is he following the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the evidence? He's following the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the evidence. This is very clear. So now he's working upon knowledge. So someone who's working upon knowledge is not like somebody who's blind following. Somebody is blind following. If the one he's blind following is wrong, then he's wrong. He'll fall into error, or he'll fall into misguidance, or fall into deviation. If something happens to the one he's blind following, then he's going to be left in the darkness. But as for the one who has knowledge himself, and he has light, then he can see. And knowledge is light. So the knowledge that we're learning and that we want to obtain is the knowledge of the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coupled with the evidence. Where's the evidence at? In the Quran and in the Sunnah and in the understanding of the Sahaba and their application. This is very clear. Al-ilmu qala Allahu qala Rasuluhu. قال الصحابة هم أولو الإرفان العلم معرفة الهدى بدليله ما ذاك والتقليل يستويان. Then he mentioned رحمه الله والجهل داء قاتل ودواءه أمران في التركيب يتفقان. And ignorance is a disease. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أما علمتم أن الشفاء عي. السؤال, did you not know that the cure for ignorance is to ask? So ignorance is considered a type of disease. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Ibn Qayyim, he mentions that it's a dangerous دَعْمٌ قَاتِلٌ, yani a deadly disease, and its cure is two affairs, they come together. The cure for the disease of ignorance, two affairs, and they come together. He says, نَسُّ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ أَوْ مِنْ سُنَّةٍ. He says, a clear evidence from the Qur'an or a clear evidence from the Sunnah. This is the cure for ignorance. And then he mentioned a great benefit, وَطَبِيبُ ذَلِكَ العالم الرباني, and the doctor for this, the one who's going to strive to cure the person and make the effort clarifying this evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, he is العالم الرباني, the one who is upright, well-known person of knowledge, who has benefited first from that knowledge, and he's established upon the proper way, and he helps and calls others to that knowledge. So we mentioned some benefits here about this affair. العلم به حياة الإسلام والمسلمين. العلم به حياة الإسلام والمسلمين. By knowledge, this knowledge that we're discussing. The life of Islam is by way of this knowledge, and the life of the Muslims likewise. The life of Islam is by way of knowledge, and likewise the life of the Muslims, the true life. وَعَكْسُهُ الْجَهْلِ, and the opposite of that, contrary to that, is ignorance. وَجَهْلُ الْإِنسَانِ حَقِيقَةً مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْإِثْمِ وَالذَّنْبِ, and the fact that a person is ignorant about the reality of that which Allah has ordered, meaning in the Quran and in the Sunnah, is from the greatest sins and actions of disobedience, to be ignorant, to remain ignorant. This is a great problem in these days for the Ummah. Like he's mentioning, rahimahullah ta'ala, it's a disease. Many people, they're ignorant with the fundamentals of the religion, with a knowledge that's an obligation for them to know. And what is sad about that is not only are they ignorant, but they are happy and satisfied. They're happy and satisfied with where they're at in their religion and the understanding of their religion. Basically blind following the forefathers and not truly even knowing the understanding, the correct understanding of the Shahada and La ilaha illallah, or the Shahada and the Muhammad and Rasulullah. They don't know the rights of these statements, and many of them are not concerned to learn them. And the affairs have become mixed up, and people have deviated, and the enemies of us, of Islam, have introduced many shubuhat, misunderstandings and misconceptions and innovations, and introduced many shahawat, desires and whims, and impermissible lusts, turning the Muslims away from their religion. Because whenever the Muslims, they were steadfast upon their religion, they conquered the world. And the enemies of Islam, they don't want that to happen again. Whenever the Muslims were steadfast and upright upon their religion, they conquered the known established world. You know that. They went from Medina all the way to Morocco. All the way to Morocco. How long? 20 years? 30 years? Maybe 2 years, 3 years. It was very brief period. They conquered all the way to Morocco. They went all the way to Russia. To the right and to the left, to the east and to the west. The empire was magnificent and great. And it was one border and one boundary. Until the enemies were not able to stop that front with weapons, they started to spread misguidance and deviation into the Ummah in order to weaken them and to weaken their religion. And whenever the religion became weak, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he let the enemies have authority until we come to the sad state that we are in today. So therefore, we have to learn our religion. We have to strive to remove the humiliation by learning the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and implementing that in our lives and in our homes and our markets and our jobs and our schools and our occupations, wherever we be, and cultivate our children upon that and raise them upon that way, upon the proper creed and belief of al-tawheed. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And that worshiping anything besides Allah, no matter what it may be, is falsehood and not allowed in a deviant and lowly way. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the messenger of Allah. Ja'ana bil bayyinati wal huda. He came to us, alhamdulillah, with guidance and light, with clarification and goodness. And what he was upon is all good. And if you want to have good, then you follow the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You raise your child upon this, and he raises his child upon that, and he raises his child upon that. Inshallah, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, Allah will remove humiliation and grant the Muslims authority and victory again over the enemies. Not by being hasty, not by overthrowing rulers, not by this way, not by that way, by learning. Not by bombs, not by terrorist attacks, not by vandalism, not by yelling and screaming, not by showing found images on Twitter. That by you sitting down and spending time and money and effort to learn the deen of Allah because you believe in Allah in the last day. That are the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because you believe in him and his laws and legal ways, and you believe that this is the path to paradise. In this manner, we will have goodness. Bi'inillahi ta'ala. So this is the knowledge that we want to seek. This is the knowledge that we want to seek. The people of knowledge, they clarify, al-amalu bi ghayri ilm tariqu an-Nasara. To have, to apply actions, to work actions and deeds. To worship Allah Azza wa Jalla without knowledge is the path of the Christians. وَالْعِلْمُ بِلَا عَمَلْ طَرِيقُ الْيَهُودِ. And to have knowledge and to not apply it properly, this is the way of the Jews. وَالْجَمْعُ بَيْنَ الْعِلْمِ وَالْعَمَلِ طَرِيقُ الْمُنْعَمِ عَلَيْهِمْ. And gathering between knowledge and application is the path of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors upon. The path of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors upon. What are their greatest trait and characteristics? Those who lived and died upon the path that leads to paradise. What is their main characteristics? There are people who gather between knowledge and application. Between knowledge and application. We say in our prayer 17 times a day as an obligation, اهدنا صراط المستقيم. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. Guide us to the path of those whom you have bestowed your favors and blessings upon. What is the trait of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings upon? There are people who gather between knowledge and application. غير المغضوب عليهم. What a body. Not the path of those who earned your anger, and nor the path of those who have gone astray. It's been narrated authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Adi ibn Hatim that he mentioned, المغضوب عليهم هم اليهود. وَالْضَالُّونَهُمْ النَّصَارَى. That those who are in the anger of Allah, they are the Jews. And those who have gone astray, they are the Christians. And the wisdom behind that is because the Jews, they have knowledge. The Jews, they had knowledge if they failed to implement and uphold its rights. They failed to implement it and uphold its rights. Whether they use that knowledge for worldly gain, to manipulate the people and to use them and to take advantage of them. This is what the Jews, they did with the knowledge that was revealed to them. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ يَشْتَرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. As for the Christians, and they have no knowledge, and they worship Allah without knowledge. And this led them to say that Allah is the third of three, and led them to say that Isa is the son of Allah. And some of them, they say that Isa, he is Allah. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. Speaking about Allah with no knowledge. Speaking about Allah with no knowledge. So by having knowledge and applying it, one, he will be safe from the way of the Jews and safe from the ways of the Christians. But if a person, a Muslim today, if he were to have knowledge and fail to apply it properly, then he will share in that trait, the trait of the Jews, وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ. And likewise, he will share in a portion of the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla according. And if a person today, a Muslim today, if he were to worship Allah upon ignorance, without knowledge or light, upon customs with no knowledge, just following whatever he follows, his desires and whims, then he will have a share of the description of the Christians in misguidance. And likewise, he has a share of that misguidance as well, accordingly. And the Jews, their main trait, وَلِيَذَا بِاللَّهِ, is that the anger of Allah is upon them, but likewise they're misguided. And the Christians, their main trait is that they're misguided, but likewise the anger of Allah is upon them. So we should be cautious. For this reason, from the Salaf, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 198. He died in the year 198. He said, "Man فسد من علمائنا فله شبه باليهود ومن فسد من عبادنا فله شبه بالنصارى." That whoever was corrupted, deviated from our scholars and people of knowledge, then he has a resemblance to the Jews. Then he has a resemblance to the Jews. And whoever deviated and is corrupted from our devout worshippers, then he has a resemblance to the Christians. Then he has a resemblance to the Christians. As for those whom Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings upon, then they are following the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. At the head of them, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in His book, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they are in the company of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings upon. So whenever we read Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, هِدِينَا سِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ سِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom You have bestowed Your favors and blessings upon. Then it's befitting now to say, whose path is that and who are they? What path is that and who are they? Allah, He clarified in His book. The answer to that question is clarified from the details of the Quran and the clarification of the book of Allah, the clarification of this question here. What is the straight path and who is upon it? Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they are in the company of those whom Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings upon. So therefore, it's not lip service. It's not mere claims, but rather it's in obedience. In obedience to Allah and His Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people here who have this trait, they are amongst those whom Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings upon. How can you obey someone you do not know? How can you fulfill commandments or avoid prohibitions you do not know them? You do not know them. So therefore, you must have knowledge. And that was their trait, that they had knowledge. من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. And Allah, He clarified likewise, at the head of those who are from those whom Allah has bestowed His favors and blessings upon, من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. From the prophets, and from the truthful, and from the martyrs, and from the righteous. وحسن أولئك رفيقا. من النبيين. At the head of the prophets is Prophet Muhammad. وصديقين. And from the truthful, at the head of the truthful is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. وشهداء. And the head of the martyrs? The head of the martyrs, the best of them all? Umar radiallahu anhu. And after him, Uthman radiallahu anhu. And after him, Ali radiallahu anhu. They're included first and foremost. They're included first and foremost. Understand that? والصالحين. The rest of the companions included in that statement, and the righteous. First and foremost, and then there's followers likewise, and their followers all the way until the day of judgment. The righteous upon that way. So this is the way that we're asking to be upon. And their trait, their characteristics, that path is the path of knowledge. That path is a path of knowledge, but not it's not simple knowledge. It's not simple knowledge. العلم ليس بكثرة الرواية, as the Salaf had mentioned, like Imam Malik, رحمه الله. That knowledge is not by having a lot of narration, a lot of memorization. لكن العلم ما وقر في القلب. His knowledge is that which goes in your hearts. ويثمر الخشية. And it brings about fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Brings about fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. You fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned in His book, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى. It is only the people of knowledge who truly fear Allah from His slaves. So the true fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the true reverence and the true reverence of Allah Azza wa Jal is that which is based upon knowledge. Based upon knowledge. Knowledge of the Tawheed and the rights of the Tawheed. Knowledge of the Tawheed and the rights of the Tawheed. Knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection and knowing the rights of that and how to implement that and apply that and establish that and knowing likewise the things that would invalidate that or weaken that or bring deficiency to that. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentioned al-ilmu al-khashya. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ al-khashya. That knowledge is nothing except for reverence and fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Reverence and fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So if someone he has knowledge, but that knowledge does not cause him to fear Allah, then that knowledge is not beneficial for him. Rather it's a proof against him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the hadith of Abi Malik al-Ash'ari, or al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu, in Sahih Muslim, that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayka. The Qur'an is a proof for you or against you. It's a proof for you if you believe in it and you learn it, you follow it, and apply it in your life, and it's a proof against you if you turn away from it and disbelieve it. Or even someone who believes in it, yet he fails to follow it, and he violates the rights that he knows from that book, then it's a proof against him, waliyadu billah. Then it's a proof against him, waliyadu billah. So a person, he has to learn the knowledge and then strive to implement it. In this manner, it will seek in his heart. And it will cause him to fear Allah and to love Allah and to hope for the reward of Allah. It will cause him to put his trust and faith and reliance upon Allah and not on the creation. This is whenever the knowledge is beneficial. And this knowledge here is the means to enter paradise. And the evidence was clarified in the recitation of the Imam, Hafidhullah, and Salat al-Maghrib in the first rak'ah. Who knows what I'm referring to? Al-Khashya, true knowledge is Khashya, fear of Allah. And Al-Khashya, fearing Allah, this is the means to enter paradise. What was the surah he mentioned? He recited Al-Bayyinah. Al-Bayyinah. What is the last few words in the last ayah? Dhalika liman khashya rabbah. What is that about? What is that ayat about? Huh? The best of mankind. Who are they? Those who believe and work righteous deeds. What is their promise and their recompense? They will have everlasting paradise. Jannah. Jannatu adnin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. خالدين فيها أبدا. And on top of that, رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عن. Allah will be pleased with them, and they will be pleased with Him. Who is that for? ذلك لمن خشي ربه. That is for the one who fears his Lord. So the Jannah that has no end, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has no equal or no comparison, is based upon fearing Allah azza wa jalla. ذلك يعني الجنة ذلك لمن خشي ربه ذلك لمن خشي. That is for the one who feared his Lord. He has khashya, reverence of his Lord. And the only way to have reverence of the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is to have knowledge. Alhamdulillah. So the author, he mentioned a number of evidences in this chapter, and he began with three different verses from the book of Allah. He says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, and the meaning of which is, Allah bears witness that there is none worthy of worship except for Him, and so do the angels and the people of knowledge, maintaining justice. There is no deity worthy of worship except Him, the Almighty, the All-Wise. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's bearing witness. He's testifying to the greatest thing that should be testified to. And that is the testimony that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. Allah, He testifies that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. So here we have the greatest one to testify. أَعْظَمُ شَاهِدْ. The greatest one to testify is the Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, He is testifying to what? To the greatest. أَعْظَمْ مَا مَشْهُودٍ بِهِ. The greatest thing to testify to, and that is that لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. We understand this. This is a major affair. Allah, He is testifying Himself. What is He testifying to? To His tawheed subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. Alone with no partners. Along with that testimony, Allah has coupled the testimony, وَالْمَلَائِكَ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ, and likewise the angels and the people of knowledge, meaning they as well testify. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had coupled it in this verse here, along with His testimony, the testimony of His angels and the people of knowledge. His angels and the people of knowledge. This is a clear evidence for the status of the people of knowledge. This is because of the knowledge that they have that had led them to testify that testimony that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testified to. And that is that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. That there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. This is the greatest thing to testify to. And if we ponder and we look in the creation, everything in this life testifies to that likewise. Everything in the creation is a testimony to the fact that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Your eyes and your ears and your heart and your mind and your very life and your soul is a testimony and an evidence and proof that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. The air that we're breathing, the words that we're saying, the statements that we're making, these are all evidences and proofs that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Our very existence in this creation, the heavens and the earth, is a testimony that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla, He mentions, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. That indeed we're going to show them our signs. Indeed we're going to show them our signs in the horizons, meaning in the creation, and in their own souls. حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Until it's clear to them that it is the truth. Until it's clear to them that it is the truth, that the Quran is the truth, and that Muhammad is the truth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that the Jannah and the Nar is the truth, that the Jannah and the Nar is the truth, and that the accountability and the resurrection before Allah is the truth, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, that this is the truth. There's signs all around us, signs in the creation that no one can deny. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوقِنِينَ وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. And in the earth there are signs for people of certainty. And in your own souls, can you not see? And in your own souls, can you not see? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in so many verses in his book, he's calling us to ponder and to reflect over our very own creation, and to look into our very own soul. فَلْيَنْظُرْ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّا خُلِقْ خُلِقَ مِمَّاءٍ دَافِقٍ. Let the human being look to what he was created from. Let the human being look to what he was created from. He was created from that fluid that's gushing forth. مِمَّاءٍ دَافِقٍ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ. Coming from between the backbones and the ribs. Any from a man and a woman. From a man and a woman, this fluid here. مِمَّاءٍ مَهِينٍ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created the human being, you and me, you and I. Created us from this fluid. From this fluid. He created us from this fluid. This is a sign of the majesty, of the authority, and the command of Allah. إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبَتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. That indeed we created the human being from the mixed sperm, from the mixed fluid of the male and the female, in order to try him. فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. We gave him the ability to hear and to see. Can you imagine that? This fluid, that if it comes on your clothing, أَكْرَمُكُمْ اللَّهُ, you'll be shy. And you'll be ashamed that anyone will see it, or anyone knows that it's there. You'll wash it off quickly. You want to hope that nobody knows that that fluid is on your clothing. That fluid is the same thing that we're created from. We're brought into existence from that. That fluid will be in the womb of a woman in that dark place, and it will grow into a blood clot. It will grow into flesh. And then it will have form, it will take shape and form. Imagine these affairs. This is our life. This is our life. This is who we are. This is who we are. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. All of this is clarified in the fact that we worship Allah alone. We're slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal. He is our creator. He brought us into existence from this fluid. Barakallah fikum. And then that flesh starts to take form. There's fingers that form in the womb of a woman. There's ears and a nose and lips. Lips, barakallah fik, that you speak with. That you speak with. Some of them, after their lips become big, they deny the creator. Or they lie on the creator. وَلِيَاذَ بِاللَّهِ. But Allah, he created them in the womb in this manner. And then he comes out and he's crying. And then a moment later, he's smiling. Maybe he's happy. Maybe he's sad. All in 5-10 minutes. Changing left and right. Having emotions. Having emotions. And then he grows. And then he wants. And he desires. And he likes. And he doesn't like. And he speaks. And he goes about life. All of this for nothing? All of this for nothing? All of this from nothing? Allah, he says, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created from nothing? Or are they themselves the creators? أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Or did they create the heavens and the earth? بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. Rather, they are not certain. Rather, they are not certain. They have no sincere faith. So the answer to these questions, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ. Were they created from nothing? Were we created from nothing? What's the answer? No, we were not created from nothing. We were created from something. Huh? Are we the creators? Did we create ourselves? You create yourself? Huh? Somebody, why didn't you make yourself more handsome or taller or shorter or thinner or stronger? Or yani, why not? If you create, of course you didn't create yourself. Huh? Then did you create the heavens and the earth? Of course you didn't create the heavens and the earth. So what's the answer? All of these things are a testimony to the creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he's one, and that he is one. So many verses in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal indicating this affair. From the beautiful lines of poetry that have come with regards to this, فَيَا عَجِبًا كَيْفَ يُعْصَى الْإِلَهُ أَمْ كَيْفَ يَجْحَدُهُ الْجَاحِدُ وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تُدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ وَلِلَّهِ فِي كُلِّ تَحْرِيكَةٍ وَتَسْكِينَةٍ أَبَدًا شَاهِدُ. The poet, he says, فَيَا عَجِبًا كَيْفَ يُعْصَى الْإِلَهُ. So amazing. How could the true God be disobeyed? أَمْ كَيْفَ يَجْحَدُهُ الْجَاحِدُ. And how could someone deny him? And how could someone deny him? وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. In every single thing, there's a sign, a proof and evidence that he's one. That he's one. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَلِلَّهِ فِي كُلِّ تَحْرِيكَةٍ وَتَسْكِينَةٍ أَبَدًا شَاهِدٌ. And Allah, in every movement, in every still thing, there's an evidence for his existence and his power and authority and command. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise his mercy, and that he has the ability to do all things. The one who created us from sperm, indeed he has the ability to do all things. The one who has created us in this manner and provided for us these organs and these senses, indeed he has encompassed all things and knowledge. The one who has brought us into existence and granted us life, indeed he is the one who's worthy of worship. Shahid Allah annahu la ilaha illa huwa. You understand that? Shahid Allah. What is the Allah? He bears witness, and all of his creation bears witness. It's a testimony to the fact that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. To the fact that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, which is the creed of the Muslims. Alhamdulillah. Al-Haqq al-Mahd. Pure truth. There's pure truth. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And anything that's worshipped in any manner besides Allah is falsehood and not worthy of worship. It's falsehood and not worthy of worship. Along with the testimony of Allah himself, that he alone is worthy of worship, the angels likewise testify. And the people of knowledge likewise is testifying. And this is the evidence for the author clarifying the virtue of knowledge. And then the virtue of knowledge is the virtue of the people of knowledge. So here the people of knowledge, because of their knowledge, they're coupled in this testimony along with Allah and his angels. So the best of the creation, they're the angels and the people of knowledge. The angels and the people of knowledge. Had there been somebody more virtuous than the angels and the people of knowledge, then Allah would have coupled their testimony with his. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he coupled the testimony of his angels and the people of knowledge of his tawheed with his testimony, clarifying their status and clarifying their virtue. A great indication that we must strive to have knowledge, because a person, he is raised by way of knowledge. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَانَ. Indeed, Allah, he raises the ranks of those who believe amongst you and those who have been given knowledge. So it's by way of sincere faith that a person, his rank is raised. And then from amongst the believers, their statuses, they vary according to their knowledge and application of the religion. And those who have the high ranks and high status, they are the people of knowledge. And to the extent that Allah has coupled his testimony to the greatest thing to testify for, with their testimony. Then after this, the author, he says, وَقَوْلِهِ وَيَرَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ وَيَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. And then he mentioned the next verse and the meaning of that, which is, and those who are given knowledge see that what is revealed to you from your Lord is the truth, and it guides to the path of the Almighty, the Praiseworthy. And those who are given knowledge, these people here who Allah, he mentioned his testimony coupled with their testimony. There are people who they see that what is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the truth. And they see that guidance and light is in that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And all goodness is in holding fast to that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They see this. Yara alladhina utul ilma alladhi unzila ilayka min rabbika huwa al-haqqu wa yahdi ila sirati al-azizi Al-Hamid. Some people, they see with their eyes, but they cannot see the truth. When you raw kulla ayatin, la yu'minu biha. And if they were to see every evidence, every proof, they will not believe in it. Because their hearts have been blocked from believing. They have been forbidden from understanding. They do not comprehend. Because they're heedless of this reality. And they show preference to this life. They love to follow their whims and to please themselves, regardless of whether it's lawful or unlawful. Whether they have no concern of that which is lawful and unlawful. So therefore, they are like animals. What do you have to billah? As for those who have been given knowledge, and as for those who benefit from knowledge, then they're able to see. They're able to see. What do they see? They see that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his Lord is the truth. And they're able to see that it guides to the path of the Almighty and the Most Praiseworthy. So therefore, that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the truth, no doubt about that. But no one will be able to see that. And no one will be able to understand that and believe that except for the people of knowledge. Except for the people of knowledge. So from the virtue of knowledge is that will lead you, it will lead you to understand and to know and to believe and to see that that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's been reported authentically, Bukhari and Muslim. And other than that, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he mentioned that there was not one prophet before, except he was given ayat that clarifying the truthfulness of his call and of his prophethood. And he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَإِنَّمَا الَّذِي أُوتِيتُهُ وَحْيٌ يُوحَى إِلَيَّ. And that which I have been given as a proof and evidence for his truthfulness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is revelation that's revealed to me. فَأَرْجُ أَنْ أَكُونَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ تَابِعًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So I hope that I will have the most followers on the day of resurrection. I hope that I will have the most followers on the day of resurrection. The greatest proof clarifying that which is revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the truth, is that which is revealed to him. From the Quran first and foremost, and likewise from the Sunnah. But from the Quran first and foremost, but likewise the Sunnah. So the Quran, the noble Quran, the words of Allah Azza wa Jalla, is the greatest evidence and proof that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And anyone in his right mind, and anyone who is sincere, and anyone who is just, he will testify to that. He will testify to that. It would only be ignorance or stubborn rebellion and rejecting that which is clear that will cause one to deny that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many verses in the book of Allah clarifying this affair to ponder on the creation. And likewise, so many chapters in the book of Allah, they begin with the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alif Lam Mim. Or others they begin, Alif Lam Ra. Others they begin, Ha Mim. Some they begin, Ta Sin Mim. Another it begins, Qaf. Another it begins, Noon. And the likes like this. All of these are from Al-Huruf Al-Muqatta'ah. These are from the individual letters, which in the Arabic language, they don't have any meanings. And Allah knows best the proper interpretation of these letters is that they're a challenge. They're a challenge for mankind. A challenge for mankind to produce the likes of this Quran. In almost every single chapter that begins with these letters, you will find the Quran mentioned after that. That it's the revelation from the Lord of the worlds. That it's guidance for mankind. That it's a book from Allah Azza wa Jal. That it's guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revelation from the Lord of the worlds, and the likes like this. And this is a challenge for mankind. If it's not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if the messenger Muhammad is a liar, then you take these same letters and you form something like it. Then you take these same letters and you form something like it. And kuntum fi raybin mimma nazzalna ala abdina fa'tu bi suratin min mithlihi wad'u shuhada'akum min duni Allahi in kuntum sadiqin fa'in lam taf'alu وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا. This is a challenge that has been standing for 1,446 years and it will continue to stand. By the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Day of Judgment. Alif Lam Mim, Ta Sin Mim, Alif Lam Ra, Qaf. Here are the letters in the Arabic language. Produce something like the Quran. One chapter. No one is able to produce the likes of the Quran. So this is the clear evidence that which is revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his Lord is the truth. That which will lead a person to realize this and to see this is knowledge. It's knowledge. So therefore, this is the virtue of knowledge. Every believer, he's favored with this knowledge. So we must realize this favor. The blessing to be from the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every prophet that has come had followers. And the best of all prophets is the last of them, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the best followers are the followers of the best prophet. And you, barakallahu fikum, are from his followers. Should you not be thankful? Should you not be happy? Should you not rejoice that you are a follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Should you not show thanks to Allah azza wa jalla and take him as a role model and implement the knowledge that you have been favored with? So many people outside these doors, they're deprived of this knowledge. And they're not able to see that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the truth from his Lord. They do not see that. They do not believe that. If you show them the signs and the evidence and the proofs that we have just discussed, they will not believe it. They will reject it, even though they see it. In their souls, they realize it, but they will deny it and reject it. And they will turn away from sincere faith and they'll follow their desires. And these are from the attributes of those who have been created for the hellfire. They are people who have no fiqh and understanding. The people who were created for the hellfire, they don't have knowledge. They don't have knowledge. Knowledge of that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the attribute of the people of the hellfire. From their greatest attribute, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. They have hearts that they do not understand. They have hearts that they do not understand. Their hearts are locked from understanding and benefiting from this knowledge. So this is a clear evidence of the status of knowledge, the virtue of knowledge, and a great encouragement to strive with one's time, one's wealth, one's efforts to seek knowledge, to seek knowledge. All of this is clarifying this affair. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.